Right, I'm calling this meeting of the Little Calumet River Development Commission to order for Wednesday, February 17th. Please set your phones on stun, turn down the game, pet the dog, and let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands under God, one nation, indivisible, under justice for all. God goes wild. Mrs. Lambert, would you do me a favor and call roll, please?
Absolutely. Tom Lyshinsky?
Here.
Tom Gosdecky?
Here.
Anthony Broadnext?
Here.
Derek Nimitz?
Here.
Dave Castellanos?
Here.
Ron Ware?
Here.
Robert Ochi?
Here.
LaVon Whitaker? Absent. William Baker?
Present. So we have a quorum, and let's roll on. Next up on the agenda is the election of officers. It's that time of year again, folks. What say you? We need some motions.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to nominate all of the current existing officers to the same positions. Bill Baker, Chairman, Tom Lyshinsky, Vice Chairman, Tom Gosdecky, Treasurer, and LaVon Whitaker, Secretary.
Second.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
And a second. So any discussion? I'll take 2 cents to appreciate everybody's continued support. We're looking to try to continue the efficient, effective work that we've been doing since we've been afforded this responsibility, and try to do the best we can to engage everybody to not have the events of 2008 happen during our tenure, knock wood. Anybody else for discussion? Be there or none, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Lyshinsky?
Yes.
Tom Gosdecky?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnix?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right. Thank you all. I appreciate that. As hopefully we live up to the expectation. Next up is the approval of the minutes from January 20th, 2021. Any motions, modifications, changes? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from January 20th, 2021.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second for Mr. Castellanos. Any discussion? Be there none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Be there none. They're out there forever. Next up is the chairman's report. Thank you again for the vote of confidence. Gentlemen, I hope I could live up to the expectations or continue to make your life more challenging. You know, again, we're doing the maintenance and upkeep and continuation of a $275 million man-made flood control project. We're far better off than we were as far as being prepared than prior to the events of 2008. We have a significant amount of deferred maintenance, as well as the additional responsibility of what happens in the watershed as a whole. This isn't going away. Infrastructure is the foundation of economic development, and we've proven that this is an economic development situation or project 4 million times every year since we've got this thing approved by the Army Corps of Engineers. Moving forward, that's going to be the charge, engaging all of the municipalities in the watershed to work together. This is one of the good things out there, folks, and for that, I'm proud to be a part of it. Enough of that. Next is the finance report. We'll need an approval of the claims for February 2021 so we can move along.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the claims for February 2021. The amount of $312,258.37.
There's a motion to approve the claims. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay?
Yes, good evening. As the great month of February, we're a little bit slow because of a little bit of the snow. We continue to work on some, as you say, the deferred maintenance, and some of these costs here are associated with those. So We'll just go through some of them, and then we'll also talk about future projects that we're going to probably come through in March, April. Two of the larger claims, both for Maryville Stormwater, for the Kaiser Ditch, $54,500. That was from a application that you all approved. That's reimbursement for some of that project. $19,194 for the Meadowdale Storage Basin. Once again, another project that you guys approved, and we are just reimbursing that municipality. The City of Crown Point for the watershed project of Sarma Woods for the study and the design of it for $79,808.16. And then, as I mentioned in work study session, we've had Grimmer Construction do some repairs to some of the boards on the pedestrian crossings over the river to the tune of $19,987. We anticipate a couple, a lot more boards to replace. It just seems like they're all put at the same time, and it just so happens that they're all failing at the same time. So we've got that fund for us. And I'm sure this cold and snow isn't going to help that situation. We're reimbursing or paying Christopher Burke for $16,782 for the drainage or for the design of the Griffith Levee. And then Garcia for $13,465. And that's for the Kennedy Sandbar remediation. That's our ongoing talks. Things that we do in the wintertime is try to get the permitting all lined up for our projects. And that's to remove the sandbar on both the east and west side of Kennedy Avenue, which is a result of all the sand and sediment coming down from Hart's Ditch. So that's the major ones. If you have any questions, I can tell you Walker's Lawn Service does look large. They did have a unfortunate fire at their facility in late summer, lost a lot of records. So they finally got those records put together, and that's to pay them for their mowing of the Forest Avenue levee that they do for us. So the inspections are all passed. So I think I have all the major ones. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Sorry, folks. Is there any questions for Mr. Repay on the statement of claims, or any questions you have on the claims? Be there none. We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Roshinsky.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnix.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Oche.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Paying the bills. That's a good thing. Rolling right along into the executive director's report. Mr. Repay.
Well, as you can see from the agenda, and I know you guys have been working hard on these. It's actually been 1 year since, almost 1 year since we've met on some of these with the advisory board. So we've been quite busy trying to facilitate these applications, answer the questions, and get them set for consideration. And so I'm happy to see that. I know you guys were busy last meeting, and we've got five more scheduled for today. We're also working on the Burr Street closure. We're in the 408 process with the Army Corps of Engineers, which is their process to allow us to make changes to the initially designed levee. The Burr Street closure, if you recall, that's the sliding of the aluminum bar through the railroad tracks. We're going to make that a permanent closure, which will relieve the City of Gary from having to do that during high water events. We're continuing to finish off the final touches on the watershed plan through Ciorba. I owe them a couple items of clarification. So once I get that accomplished, then we should be able to go for final, and then we'd have an updated report. And after that, Lake Station right now is shut down because of the weather, and we anticipate 80-degree weather next week. And so I'm just kidding. We'd hope to be back sometime in March to start that project back up so we can complete it the summertime.
All right, thank you. I had one question for you, Dan, having to do with the Kennedy Avenue sandbar. Are we still having to pull permits from all the alphabet soup groups to be able to get that done? And are we going to be able to do any of that work this construction season?
The answer is yes, we still have to get permits. 50-50 whether it gets done this year. And that's just my guess.
All right. And then with regards to closures and practicing closures with some of the municipalities along the river, is there any thoughts or discussions between you and those groups on doing any of those this year?
This year, yes. We're thinking that we may be doing it outside, and we're thinking about doing emergency boil drill, which means if there's some seepage underneath the levee and it causes a boil where we had it in Wicker Park, the proper way to set it up and to do it, not necessarily a closure. Closures we've done. Kennedy Avenue was done 2 years ago. Of course, this past year was a little bit peculiar. We didn't do any closures. But we have no other really place to do a closure that would make sense. Really, if you look at break it down, you have Calumet, which is a small one or two sandbags. You have Northcott, which we've practiced enough on. And then Kennedy Avenue, as I mentioned, if we eliminate Burr, then only other closures in Gary would be Grant Street, which I wouldn't recommend doing on Grant Street itself because it's five lanes. And then the other one is... that's it. Would be Grant.
So humor me, Dan, since we have a litany of individuals from across the watershed sitting on this thing because they all want some money. Mm-hmm. How many closure structures along the river are we responsible for? Should we have a high water event? And why don't you throw out that sandbag number that's so interesting for all these engineer types out there?
We're responsible for it, but the municipalities participate, so they're technically responsible. So
yeah, it's all coming to us. You know that at the end of the day.
Well, they have the manpower, so I'm gonna say that it's gonna come on them. But we have the one on River Road, which is in Munster. We have, of course, State Line in Hammond, but they've maintained that as a permanent closure with those stop logs. If you do Calumet, which is a very small sandbag structure. You then go to Northcott, nothing's at Indianapolis Boulevard. You've got a large closure at Kennedy, and then you've got Colfax and Calhoun, which are just, you really can't close it down. You close it for traffic, but you don't close it for sandbag purposes. Beyond that, you go to Grant Street. Clark Street was already fixed, so was Chase, so was 35th. So we started out, I believe, with 55,000 sandbags needed in the event of a serious rain event. We're now down, I believe, to 20,000 sandbags. And quite honestly, that's even less than that because of the alternate methods that some municipalities participate in using other barriers that were approved by the Corps. And I'll give you an example. Sandbags were supposed to be at Kennedy Avenue, but Highland uses, just for using Highland as an example, they use the cement barriers or Jersey barriers, whatever you want to call them. So there's for all the engineering folks that are out there that I probably all know.
I disagree, but thank you. Anything else for Mr. Repay? All right, moving right along. Next up is the presentations. Looks like first one on the agenda is Town of Winfield. Mr. Repay, could you introduce that for us, please?
Yep, Town of Winfield. I believe Mr. Duffy is out there. I hope he is. He will be presenting. He is the consulting engineer for the Town of Winfield. This project lies on the border of Winfield and Merrillville. And so with that, I'll just let him give all the fun details and remind all presenters that the board has seen your application and they've all read them. So however that helps you give your presentation is a good thing.
Good evening. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present this tonight. As sure you've read the application. We have a waterway within the town of Winfield that we have done extensive study and work on through the years. It appeared in our 2009 stormwater master plan as a priority level one. I can share my screen, correct, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you guys see that?
I'm good.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All righty. So here's Hidden Creek as it makes its way through Hidden Creek subdivision. Merrillville's boundary is right here. And through the years, we have analyzed this waterway to come up with some ways to protect the residents along this creek and to help figure out a way to keep 101st Avenue, which is here, and Clay Street up here in Merrillville from overtopping. What we've looked at in the past, we've looked at diverting some of the water, picking it off here and sending it east to a large wetland, which I'll illustrate with this slide so you guys can get a flavor of the overall area. This is Hidden Creek subdivision here. All this over here is a large wetland that is the ultimate destination for all the water in this area of town. And what has happened through the years as we've looked at this, in order to maximize detention and protect the private structures, ultimately, the best scenario is to upsize this culvert and upsize this culvert here at Clay Street in order to let the water pass to where it naturally wants to go, which is to that wetland. It poses minimal effect to the wetland. We've been working with the town of Merrillville, walking it with Matt and looking at the different options up there and the sizing of the pipe that it would take for the culvert crossing, enhancing the discharge from the pond so that way it's piped directly underneath 101st Avenue. And that would be phase one of the project. What that allows Winfield to do is then to, with our own stormwater board, come in and enhance the creek, change out this culvert crossing, and provide a level of protection to all the residents around here. Brought some pictures, and I put some pictures in the application, but if you look at this one here, this is what happens at this house all the way upstream of the waterway. And then obviously, as you get downstream, we have the result here at 101st overtopping. This is that same cul-de-sac I showed you before. You can see the electrical transformer. The whole road floods. So it's not just a one end of the development or the other. It's a watershed issue in this area of town. So we looked at piping the water this way to the wetland. Unfortunately, that's all about out of our jurisdiction and bypasses the natural waterway. We've looked at taking it from here over to there. We've looked at trying to work with a developer here in the past to do something. But ultimately, the waterway is so flat, we really need to get the water to the wetland and then work all through here to fix that, which would be Winfield's responsibility. The only thing we're seeking help from the commission with is the pipe from the pond underneath the road and this culvert crossing. Working with Matt and Merrillville, they've written us a letter of support. They're going to maintain the roadway and the culvert in the future. Town of Winfield to maintain everything upstream and hopefully put this problem to bed once and for all for the residents in there. As a question, I'm sure that might come up is, why don't you just buy the properties that keep flooding? and we did look at that as far as acquiring the residences that do get water and raising them. Ultimately, though, even by making those properties part of the detention system, it doesn't result in solution to the problem for the rest of the subdivision. I also have Nick Bellar on the phone. I believe he's also there. He's the town administrator. If there's any administrative questions regarding the development. But that's
you know,
the
I have a question, Mr. Duffy. I mean,
yes,
I'm assuming all of the water that's coming through this location is coming from Crown Point under I-65, or is that incorrect?
That is incorrect. This water that comes from here actually originates on the south side of 109th Avenue, makes its way through the Tree subdivision, which is directly south of this area. And ultimately goes up in here and makes its way over to Deep River underneath 93rd.
I mean, I see nothing but cornfields, and we have flooding in the three houses in the middle of the cornfields.
Yeah, this one here regularly gets water, and this one back here, this one up here, because basically what happens is this whole channel becomes a function of the detention system of this pond. So as the water reaches peak elevation, it backs all the way up through here due to the flatness and then starts leaving the banks.
I got a question.
Yes.
Is this created by a development design that was inadequate at the time, and now we're going back to try to fix it?
I think that things could have been looked at a little better by the original developer. This was originally a Lake County development that Winfield incorporated in when we incorporated as a town. I think that ultimately that culvert probably should have been looked at a little closer, but really Clay and 101st would have had this problem probably with flooding overtopping in general. The culvert down here, these two here, I think are 215 inches that are submerged underneath the waterway in the existing condition.
Mr. Duffy, are you the town's engineer for this?
I am.
Okay, so what other developments within Winfield might fall under that same description? Is there any others?
As far as what? The description of
it could have been handled differently in the previous development reviews by entities other than the town of Winfield.
I think for the most part we're pretty solid. We, as far as the especially anything new, I think the developers will tell you that we have one of the tougher stormwater ordinances around, because we do not have the ability to go back and correct other people's mistakes as any other municipality does. Everybody wants to get it done right the first time. I think that this development in particular, because it's a septic development, they were limited in what they could do with grading. And in general, this waterway became part of the detention system, and to get the water out quick enough, that culvert just isn't sized. We tried to get it replaced, I want to say maybe 5 years ago, working with the town of Maryville when they were paving this road. But we've had to deal with some property owner concerns to the north, because it's out of Winfield's jurisdiction, obviously. Maryville controls this road.
Thank you. Gentlemen, any other questions? I mean, any questions for Mr. Duffy on this? I can barely see anybody, so you have to help me.
Can I ask Dan a question? A while back, when we first were entertaining requests for funding, didn't the town of Winfield come to us with something similar to this? Or this in general? I mean, and it just never happened?
We have 109th. Are you speaking about another previous application?
Yeah, this was a while back. There was at least one or two applications that Winfield came to us with that requested money. And I thought, if my memory serves me correct, we approved one or two of them in the past, and they never acted upon them.
There was one, and Michael will be able to tell me better.
Yeah.
Well, there was one that was approved, and for whatever reason, it wasn't acted upon. Whether I think you guys changed
directions or did something different. So
yeah, I can answer a few things in regards to that. The one that wasn't acted upon actually turned into the Grand Avenue overall project, where it turned into a resolution of the large culvert that's underneath the road, and that project's currently out to bid right now. So we kind of rolled that one into a much larger project. As far as for Hidden Creek, this area, yes, we did actually approach the commission with a request to actually design this project. That was not favorably recommended by the commission. So the town of Winfield actually sponsored DLZ to undertake all of the design work under the Stormwater Board's funding. So that way we would come with basically a shovel-ready project, not an analysis, not any type of preliminary engineering work. We actually went ahead and designed this and worked with the town of Maryville and submitted it to them as well, so that they knew what we had in mind for what was going to happen in their portion of Lake County. I mean, really, the predominant work here is actually happening outside of Winfield's jurisdiction, but we actually need to do that in order to solve our own issue. I hope that answered your question.
Thank you.
I may have missed one. I had an interruption earlier, so I apologize. I did hear the beginning of the presentation, and you said something about a developer to, it looks like, to the east. I have a concern, and Chairman Baker, correct me if or stop me if this question is already asked. What's happening just to the east with this other development? Is this problem going to account for what they're doing, or are we going to have another issue?
No, that project died years back. If you actually look on the county GIS, it's actually platted, but it never was acted upon because they could not get engineering approval from the town because of the strain on this particular waterway. Since that time, we've instituted a very aggressive stormwater ordinance. So I, as the town engineer, can require additional detention within developments to ease issues on distressed waterways.
Okay, so effectively this area to the east will not be developed on unless you and others approve it.
Correct. Yes.
Thank you.
And may I ask everybody, if they're not speaking, to mute their things, because whoever's eating the pistachio nuts, I'm hungry. Any other questions for Mr. Duffy on this? Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate the time and effort in putting in this. We'll take a review. We'll work through Mr. Repay to be able to move forward.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right. Next up on the agenda appears to be the city of Crown Point. Mr. Repay, will you introduce that?
Sure. I don't know if Al or Andrew is going to lead the presentation for this interceptor. I think it's just for the CSO. They had sent us some information this morning for a down part of the presentation. I sent it on to you guys. I believe that's what they're going to use here today to show you the amount of CSO going into Big Beaver Dam Ditch. That's about the best I could lead into this presentation.
All right. Thanks, Dan. My name's Al Stong. I'm with Commonwealth Engineers. And we do most of the utility work for the city of Crown Point. My partner, Andrew Robarge and Teresa Hartwig, are on the line as well. And Terry Sikora and Jason Scott with the utilities are here. I have a short presentation. It's 14 slides that I'd like to share with you now, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, gentlemen, can you see the cover presentation?
I can.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. Yes.
The first slide is a video clip that was shared with me from one of the homeowners' complaints last year in May of 2020. So I'll play this. It gets brighter as it goes on. but this clip is identifying a significant flooding issue.
I would.
You know, sir, we've seen a lot of these videos and they're all very disturbing. Is that a pool? It's a pool.
It is.
Okay. All right, we get the idea.
Okay.
The problem.
Moving on, to give you a little bit of background, the city of Crown Point operates a combined sewer system, and we have rainfall discharge, CSO, which is combined sewer to the Beaver Dam ditch. Now, this request tonight is not to address the CSO. We've already performed our work in compliance with Indiana Department of Environmental Management for the long-term control plan. This is a request to address a flooding issue and to address some water quality issues. So moving on, the area in question is about 300 acres. We have currently what's considered a combined sewer to where the when the sanitary sewers exceed their flow, they overflow into this combined sewer and then flow to the Beaver Dam ditch for discharge. This is the area in question, and this is the interceptor in question. That's the combined sewer. It's approximately 11,000 lineal feet, varying in diameter. And the setup is similar to this. Here's your existing sanitary sewers. It overflows when it rains into this combined sewer, and this combined sewer goes down to the Beaver Dam ditch and discharges. What we're requesting consideration for funding for today is the planning associated with a relief interceptor. What we want to do is we want to install a more shallow relief interceptor that we can utilize in lieu of the existing combined sewer that we can overflow into and discharge into a manhole that then will take this flow to our wastewater treatment plant. What that will do is that will open up this sewer so it can be used solely for stormwater purposes. And we can pipe adjoining neighborhoods, stormwater systems to this interceptor. You can't connect stormwater to a combined sewer, but by making it a dedicated storm sewer, we could then pipe other smaller lines that can't escape the watershed to this larger interceptor, take it down to Beaver Dam ditch through a swirl concentrator and discharge. So that takes the sewage overflow during wet weather events off the ditch, and it also provides us a relief for our stormwater flow in the area. We ran a hydraulic simulation over 5 years. Right now, as a CSO community, when you get above the 10-year, one-hour storm event, you can discharge into the ditch. So this is the total volume over a five-year simulation of historical storm events, about 50 million gallons. So this project would alleviate, historically, 10 million gallons a year of combined sewer that currently discharges into the Beaver Dam ditch. And we would take it instead to our treatment plant. The beneficially impacted structures, we have 610 homes, 145 mobile homes. The main purpose is to get a large interceptor outlet to the Beaver Dam ditch for stormwater. Most of our stormwater systems can carry up to the 2-year, 1-hour storm, and we just don't have large enough pipe to get the storm out of Crown Point and to our drainage ditches. So you've heard these requests before. Obviously, there's a lot of benefit to alleviating the combined sewage off of the Beaver Dam ditch from a human health standpoint. And the Beaver Dam ditch flows and impacts Hobart, New Chicago, and Lake Station. So by taking those flows off of the Beaver Dam ditch, we would anticipate some water quality benefits downstream as well. That's what I had to share tonight as far as our request. Again, it's for funding consideration for the design of a parallel interceptor that we can dedicate for CSO overflow and then repurpose this existing interceptor as a stormwater interceptor. Are there any questions?
All right, back to the board. You guys have any questions for this fine presentation? I'll have one. I mean, Mr. Trunk, help me between an interceptor and a combined sewer. I mean, is this bypassing it? Because even though Crown Point is older, there's combined sewers everywhere that if we fix those, there's a huge benefit and everybody could sign on to that. Once we do one, we're going to do about a million of them. So right. How would you offset that thought process with this particular application?
The way I would offset it is saying that this is not a combined sewer project associated with the community's long-term control plan. We've already met compliance. We're overflowing into this interceptor in compliance with the requirements associated with Indiana Department of Environmental Management. We have an opportunity to where we can reroute this flow to the treatment plant. So the city's not required to reroute the flow, and they can't reroute the flow unless they put in a shallower interceptor. And if we were to install this shallower interceptor, all of the overflow would be taken to the plant. We've already performed our combined sewer work. We have additional work that's slated to be performed in the city. So again, this isn't a combined sewer project. It's a project to alleviate the pollution that otherwise would be contributed to the Beaver Dam ditch and to provide a drainage route for about 300 acres.
Thank you. Gentlemen.
Is this a stormwater project or a sanitary sewer project?
Oh, it's both. Right now we have a
percentage of each.
Well, I would say right now it's 100. It's 100% stormwater project with water quality benefit. We have a combined sewer that I want to use as a stormwater interceptor. I could put in a stormwater interceptor, but then I wouldn't be rerouting this additional combined sewer. So it's dual benefit. I can reroute the sewage using a new shallower interceptor that's more affordable to install and take it to the plant. And I can repurpose this deeper interceptor and use it for stormwater drainage.
Quick question. Does the city of Crown Point have a stormwater fee?
The city of Crown Point does have a stormwater fee. We're examining that now from an ERU standpoint. Currently, they have a $6 fee associated with residents and $12 with commercial entities. And this project is one of the top areas of concern in our stormwater master plan that was developed several years ago.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question, sir. So I'm looking at the application. And I just want to make sure I understand it correctly. It looks like you guys are projecting almost $4 million in construction costs once this project is finally designed. You're currently
one last presentation. Looking, I'm tell them I'm leaving.
Okay.
You currently are looking at a $400,000 design cost, and you proposing that we provide $320,000 of that $400,000. Is that a true statement?
That is a true statement. It was my understanding that we would be eligible for up to 80% grant consideration, and so we're requesting that consideration.
So I'm sure that once this design phase is complete, there's going to be another ask for funding of actual boots on the ground, as Bill would say, and some of his predecessors of real work.
That's correct. We will be back.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, commissioners, any other question for this young man?
Well, geez, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
Hey, we got to take whatever we can get him.
I know it.
Okay, thank you very much for that. This is an interesting one. So let us chew on it, and then we'll get back with any questions, and we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, as noted, I need to leave the meeting at this point, so I won't be available for voting.
Thank you, Mr. Brodnicks. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right, next up is the City of Lake Station. Mr. Repay.
This is for the Viking Village Pump Station. As you recall, we had approved, or the board approved, the design phase of this. The initial pump station was located within the 100-year flood elevation. And so I'm trying to think, who do we got here that's going to present for DLZ? I'm looking.
That would be me, Tony Kenning.
Tony Kenning, I'm sorry. There was a couple pages. I wasn't sure who was on it. By the way, if you've already presented and you really care not to listen to everyone else's presentation, no harm if you really want to go do something else. So
that's no demerit. That's Mr. Repay's statement. I mean, the rest of us might be checking that off. All right?
Yeah. But you're gonna follow the 43 participants here at tonight's meeting. I understand that. There'll be a test later. Anyways.
I'm old.
Clearly I am too. Tony, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you very much for having us. I am presenting here on behalf of the City of Lake Station. I'm going to attempt to share my screen.
You can do it.
And here we go. All right. Ooh, can you see that?
Yep, yes. Just hit from the beginning. That would be probably the best.
Yeah. You know what? I apologize. It looks like it's being covered up by some other aspect of Zoom. Hang on. There we go.
As long as no one shows up as a cat like that one attorney did, we're going to be okay.
There we go. How's that? Is that much better?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Again, Viking Village lift station replacement project. The Viking Village pump station is located on Deep River, or adjacent to Deep River, at the location shown as seen right here. The kind of zooming in, what's going on with the lift station itself, you can see the blue hatched area, which is actually the 100-year floodplain boundary of Deep River. And the lift station, there's actually a couple structures out here, but the main one that is of concern is the yellow six-sided figure there that's currently located within the floodplain and has been compromised a number of times over its history. The relocated pump station is going to be placed, and it's actually in process right now. Construction has begun. At the location shown, the red hatched square. The elevation of that new pump station is easily about 6 or 7 feet above the floodplain elevation in that area, so it's going to be removed well out of harm's way. There's a photograph here indicating the structures that are compromised from time to time. Most recently, back in February 2018, the Deep River levels actually came within a foot of the station, causing failure of an old overflow plug that was put in there many, many years ago, causing sewage to then overflow into the river. Another documented example is back in 2008 when a lot of chaos happened. The station was submerged for several weeks without access to it, causing sewage to overflow into the river. My understanding also is that when some of these events have happened too, it's not only this location that can overflow. This station begins to take on flows, additional water from the river, and gets into the system and inundates the system downstream, the sanitary sewer system downstream. And there are overflows that occur at 25th, in the vicinity of 25th and DeKalb. Relocation of the pump station outside the Deep River floodplain Obviously, significantly, if not eliminates the any type of potential of sewage overflow, which is a water quality concern for the region. The relocation will also provide, you know, improved access for maintenance during deep river flood events. No more inaccessibility of the pump station during those events. And then it's also going to include permanent emergency generator and telemetry on the station to provide reliability of operations going forward. As Mr. Repay had indicated, the board did participate in a 50% of the design costs for the pump station back in April. And the City of Lake Station, again, thanks you for that contribution. The project was awarded to Grimmer Construction. This says to begin in January 21, 2021. It has begun. They're just a little bit tied up now because of the snow. Otherwise, it would be progressing. We are anticipating completion of construction on or around May of this year. And with this application, Lake Station is requesting a 50% match in of the approximately $690,000 construction cost in the amount of $345,000. To assist with the construction. With that, I know you've all seen the application, but I'd like to be brief and turn it over with any questions that you might have.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for this fine young man as it relates to this project?
Question.
Mr. Gazdecki.
Oh, go on.
I was curious to know, how are they currently funding the project that's under construction?
My understanding
is there.
Go ahead.
Is there a bond issue or a loan or? I just was curious to know how they plan to pay if we don't approve.
My understanding is the pump station right now, as is being funded by local rates. I'm not aware that this is part of any bonded effort at this point in time.
Okay.
Mr. Wyszynski.
When you move this pump station from the current location, which is located in the floodplain outside it, what year flood will, how far away is it going to be in? And are we going to be at a 200 year level or do we know where we're going to be?
I would say we're definitely well above the 500 year level. So we've moved this thing easily about seven feet up higher. If that elevation is ever achieved, I think all of Lake County is pretty much done. But yeah, okay. we're significantly going to be above it.
Okay,
we live in a swamp. Anthony, I have a question for you. It has to do with just with the general overview of this being a pump station. And if we approve this pump station, how would you anticipate the rest of the communities in the watershed looking at pump station requirements in their particular jurisdiction?
Wouldn't they all
want a pump station?
I'm sorry, repeat that last part.
Wouldn't they all want a pump station?
I guess, you know, there are a lot of pump stations that, you know, from my knowledge, that are located within a floodplain, but they're usually have been elevated up above that 100-year elevation level. So I think from what I've seen over the years, this is somewhat unique in the fact that it's down below and inundated vertically. So I can't anticipate what it would be from all, you know, the requests from the other communities, but I understand maybe the concern of setting a precedent and so forth. I would say that this is probably a little bit different than the others because it is vertically at a lower elevation in the floodplain and so forth. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Well, you know, it helps without a doubt. But remember, this is also a group that saw the Army Corps of Engineers project have a standpipe that was draining the river inside of the levee. So we've seen a lot of unique things that have been approved, but we, you know, have to try to figure out the best way to move forward. So you're of the opinion that this, because of this elevation, it's a unique situation to Lake Station.
Correct.
All right. Any other questions for this young man? Come on, you're killing me. All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Next up, Mr. Repay, Lake County Parks. They're getting good at this, aren't they?
Well, when you're good, I mean, it's never mind. Lake County Parks has two applications in front of us. I think they're just going to hit them both at the same time without introductions between both of them. I'll give you a quick one. The geo property acquisition is what it's been called. It's located within the Hobart Nature District. This is that was going to be their first one. The second one is what is deemed as the Soros property acquisition. Them looking to develop a county park in the western part of Lake County, which lacks park area and green space. So the first one, Craig, and Craig will give you great detail on why this first one here, which is the Geo Group acquisition, is important. We have support letters from several residents as well as from the city of Hobart themselves. So with that, Craig, you can have at it.
Okay, thank you, Dan. You have my screen up there?
We do.
Great. Okay, first I want to thank the commission for past projects you've helped support with, land acquisition at Oak Ridge Prairie, Deep River County Park, also Three Rivers County Park recently, and then also a flood control project at our future Beaver Dam County Park west of Crown Point. So appreciate all that. The GO project is one we've been working on for a number of years here. The first map I have up here is our Lake County Parks Vision Plan. You'll see in yellow, number 6, Oak Savannah Trail. And then this property is a little bit north of the Oak Savannah Trail, just east of I-65. You can see it in yellow near Lake George. So that's the kind of show overall from the county perspective where we're at. The next map here, drawing, is showing our USGS map. These are a little old. They're back from the late 70s, but you can see here. This is the property, the 40 acres in question, the project, and you can see the location a little better adjacent to the old railroad grade, which is now a bike trail, north of Robinson Lake Park, which is managed by the city of Hobart, and just east of I-65. This also helps a little bit. You can see some of the drainage coming off the property that heads east towards Lake George, and then the remainder of the property actually drains northwest into Merrillville, on the Meadowdale lateral. So it actually drains in two different directions, this property. So next I wanted to go into this map, this drawing here, that kind of shows an overall view of the Hobart, the city of Hobart Nature District that's been established recently. This nature district has a number of landowners, and I know you guys are well aware of the projects here. I know you guys have been very busy over the years with the mitigation for the Locale project. That's being helped managed by DNR and Army Corps. Also, you've got Shirley Hines Land Trust, Woodland Land Conservancy in here, National Park Service, Lake County Parks, Isaac Walton. You've got City of Gary owning property. So there's a lot of different landowners, NIPSCO. And all these properties, if you put them all together, add up to about 1,500 acres of open space. If you compare this to other larger tracts of open space in Lake County, it's probably right up there with all the corridor along the Little Kennet River that you guys manage, the Hoosier Prairie, Oak Ridge Prairie corridor. This is one of your larger areas of open space in the county. So with that, you've got a lot of opportunity here that, you know, a lot of flood storage, a lot of opportunity for water to drain into the aquifer. A lot of opportunity just to manage stormwater the natural way without pipes and structures and pumps and all that kind of stuff. So the long-term cost-benefit ratio of this area for stormwater benefits is really incalculable. And then you put all the land together, plus with the opportunities for recreation in the long term, that's a really win-win for the entire community. Looking at the stormwater benefits, the property itself is about 40 acres. But if you look at overall, I think we're looking at probably about 20 to 30 acre feet of stormwater storage. The reason I'm saying that is because here's another drawing done by DNR. They helped us with a Division of Forestry with a management plan for the property if it's acquired. You can see here at one point there used to be banquet hall right there, the St. Sava banquet hall. There's still a part which was demolished and removed by the previous or the current owner. There's a parking lot that's still remaining yet and an entrance drive. If this project would go forward, we would remove the old parking lot and the entrance drive. Currently, the whole south end of this parking lot's underwater. So when the parking lot's removed, the entry drive's removed, we would eventually look at putting a smaller parking lot right off 49th Avenue on the north side for public access. But removing the parking lot, entrance drive, will create more stormwater storage here. So you will be adding stormwater storage, which will be benefit for reducing some of the flow that's going east in the Lake George, and then also some of the flow going northwest to the Meadowdale Lateral, which I know the commission and the Maryville Stormwater Board has a lot of interest in. So that will help them out as well. Looking at the recreation standpoint, you've got a great opportunity here. The city of Hobart with Robinson Lake, they're looking at doing improvements to add more capacity to the parking lot. We want to have a trail from the Oak Savannah Trail that will go. There's a parking lot that's jointly managed by Lake County Parks and the city of Hobart. And we want to have a trail that goes from there through the subject property to 49th Avenue. The key with that is currently the properties north of 49th Avenue, McCloskey's, Burroughs, Savannah, some Shirley Heights properties do not have public access. Having the public access or the trail from the south to the north will allow the public access to the properties to the north. So you're actually connecting or providing connection for people to recreate into those parcels in the long term. So that's something that doesn't exist now. So you will be providing more recreational opportunities by acquiring this property, which will allow the public access to take place. The property itself, we've had several people look at it. It's got some really nice oaks, hickories, hardwoods on it. It's actually got a surprisingly lack of invasive species. There's some, of course, but it's in decent shape. Looking at this map right here again, anything in yellow is pretty much natural. Anything that's inside of here has been impacted by the past building, mowing, the parking lot and so forth, and that will all be restored back to, the existing plant communities and, of course, some wetlands for flood control. And then if you look at some of the other benefits, of course, we've went over it in past for projects, but, you've got surrounding private properties will benefit from this, from the improvement in land values because of this being public open space. You've got, of course, all the benefits to the community that's going to be able to visit these sites, being that it will be public open space. We've, as Dan mentioned, we have several supports from Maryville, Hobart, and other organizations. So we're really fortunate with that. I want to get into the budget here real quick for you. We've had some changes since I submitted the application. We have federal funds that are committed for the project from the Lake Michigan Coastal Program, $150,000. U.S. Forest Service has committed $138,000 from their GLRI program, which is a Great Lakes Restoration Initiative program. So it's $138,000 there. And then local funds, we've got a variety of sources, some new sources since we came to you with the initial application. Friends of Robinson Lake, Sandy O'Brien's going to give us some money. Shirley Hines Land Trust has committed some funds now. Also, Lake County Parks and the Lake Heritage Parks Foundation will be putting in money. Also, we've got commitments from Indiana DNR through the sale of environmental license plates. It's a great program, and those funds go directly back into acquiring parkland in the state of Indiana, specifically natural parkland. So we've got two supports from two divisions within DNR, outdoor recreation, because of the trail connections and the recreational possibilities that's going to happen because of this project. Also from the Division of Nature Preserves, because of the natural plant communities that are found on the site. And then below, you can see because of that, our first request to the commission was $258,000. Since then, our request now would be $246,000. You can see below, we've got some associated costs that we've encumbered as we usually do for, projects that we work on, normal business. And so you can kind of see some of what was given. Friends of Robinson Lake helped with appraisals. So did Shirley Hines Land Trust. Also, Shirley Hines Land Trust has agreed to help manage the site if it's acquired, which is a big deal because, you know, there's a lot of long-term maintenance here and they've agreed to help us because they have local properties nearby that they'll have staff nearby and we can all work together on it. So I think there's a lot of people involved and a lot of people in the community nearby that really support this project. So with that, I would entertain any questions if you have any.
All right. Bringing it back to the board, Craig, I have one question. So even with all the changes, Little Cal is still going to be the largest contributor to this project, correct?
Single contributor, correct. Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, as a part of that, as we continue to try to fold recreation into the flood control component of it and working with Lake County Parks, I mean, you've been outstanding in helping us do that. It's always just managing that balance and trying to see how we can do that. Now, with the flood control, is there any other ways to measure the amount of assistance to flood control? You mentioned that, you know, there's all kind of different directions that the water's flowing in and out of this place with the surrounding thing. Has anybody looked at the macro view as far as how this works currently, how it'll this parcel will improve? And really the big picture is eventually how is the whole thing going to have to come together to really show some benefit from a flood control perspective?
Yeah, I think what's happening already with all the different parcels that are being acquired and have been acquired in the nature district, that in itself is providing the natural lands to soak up the water and hold it and slowly release it over time. So I think this is functioning a little different than you would see from a normal, you know, flood control project where you're using, you know, you're creating facilities to help store the water. In this case, we're letting nature do most of that work for us. So with all these properties in here, pretty much all these properties are, you know, are preserving the natural plant communities and the wetlands on site. This property specifically, you know, you've got a large wetland already that's kind of here on the south end of the parking lot, which will be enhanced and will hold more stormwater. Throughout the property itself, there's a lot of ephemeral wetlands in there. So walking through it in the last spring, summer, I mean, you'll see after storm events, you've got small puddles, I guess, scattered throughout the woods that that hold water. And so that kind of thing, I think over time, you're doing a benefit, this property along with the others, you put it all together and you're holding a lot of water. I don't know if we've exactly ever had an engineer or somebody tell us, you know, how many acre feet that this 1,500 acres is storing. But, you know, I think this may be time we find that out because it's a lot. Looking at this property, it's pretty much split at a 45 degree angle as far as the, you know, the storm water, the way it goes when it leaves. So all the water basically is flowing along 65 and going back under into the Meadowdale lateral from the northwest. The southeast, it's flowing directly into the waterway shown here that goes into Lake George, into ravine into Lake George. So with that, I think you're going to stop a lot of the water that's going to go in either direction from, you know, from going anywhere else. And I mean, right now it probably holds a lot of water as it is, but, you know, taking the parking lot, some of the impervious surface out, maybe putting a parking lot back in that has a pervious surface there, you know, you're going to get a lot of benefit there. And we're definitely going to be holding more water in the coming years just on this 40 acres. So
thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Gazdecki?
I have about three questions. One, I want to make sure, did you say you have been able to acquire more funding that would reduce your ask?
We did, yeah. Since our first request, our first request was for $258,000. So in the last month, we had, you know, another $12,000 in local support that we have committed now for the project. So it was $258,000. It's $246,000 now. I mean, is it a huge difference? No, but you know, it's another $12,000 that we got in local support that we didn't have before. So,
okay. My second question is, this 40 acres is valued pretty high at $576,000.
Correct.
That's like almost $14,500 an acre, $14,400. What makes this property so valuable?
Right.
And how could it be developed by somebody else? Go ahead.
The reason the appraisals came out where they did, we had appraisals from Vail Appraisal Group and Stephen Kovacevic, and they're both really good appraisers. And the reason is because right now you've got Macaulay Real Estate, GEO. I mean, they've been marketing the property for about 2 years, Have they had any of the offers? They have not, but the site is ready to go with all utilities. It's got sewer access, and both appraisers checked with Gary Sanitary District, and the sewage or the sewer line that goes down 49th is active, ready to go. So from that standpoint, you've got sewer, water, and electric to the site, which makes it ready to develop. Also, the zoning on the site is why it's probably appraised a little higher also. The zoning is residential, I believe, in another zoning. There's two different zonings on it. And then also you've got a, you know, you've got some uses along 49th Avenue that have raised the appraised value. You've got a solar farm across the street, a new solar farm that went in, and they paid a good chunk of funds for that solar farm. So that was one of the comps that was used by the appraisers. And just, you know, a lot of the appraised value is the potential that's there on that site. Granted, has anybody taken advantage of it yet? No, they haven't. But, you know, somebody still could come in and the site's ready to go for development. So, you know, it's a good question if it would happen or not. So
thank you very much. Appreciate mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
How long has the site been on the market?
It's been on for, it's getting close to 2 years, I believe, maybe longer. So it's been on for a while.
Hey, Craig, was,
and, I mean, they were asking $850,000 for the property. I think they lowered the price to $650,000, $700,000, I think. So, I mean, they weren't happy with the appraisals we got. They thought it's still a little low yet, but, you know, they agreed to sell at that price. So, you know, I mean, you know, we're buying it at just a little bit more than what they bought it for. So the value hasn't rose a lot since GO purchased it, but it is what it is. And it's still a developable piece of property. And, you know, somebody someday would probably come in and find some sort of use for it. And they've got the utilities to make it happen. So.
Did they do a soil test on this, and how how deep is the water?
You know, this in this area here, you've got a high water table. There's no doubt. If you look at Robinson Lake to the south, I mean, Robinson Lake's probably reflective of the water table somewhat in the area. And, you know, you go about 4 or 5 feet down and you've got water. So and maybe in some areas that does change a little bit, but there's a natural high water table there. So, yeah, I mean, the banquet hall was built, and that was a long time ago. So we have not done any soil tests in the property, and I don't believe GO did. You know, there's been several, you know, developments proposed here over the years. Nothing's happened. So I would suppose, though, if somebody wants to come in and develop it, they probably can make it happen. They have to do some mitigation, I'm sure, for wetlands, but it could be done.
So, Craig, I had a question regarding your application, and then look through your due diligence, I guess, you've already done on this project in your assessment or this property in your assessment. Are there any environmental concerns since you did have an existing parking lot and a structure there? Are there any? Have you run across that, or will you be running across that?
No. You know, looking at the site is pretty clean. I mean, there's a little bit of garbage in some of the wooded areas from past farming, and the site, you know, prior to St. Sava buying it and putting up the banquet hall, it was a pasture. So, you know, it was, you know, cows, whatever else on there for pasture. So, there has been no soil. There's been really no environmental assessment done on the property other than.
Has there been a phase one or phase two, initial phase one done? Or was, no, is there the no, intention doing that?
No. But there's really been no, I guess, nothing seen on the surface that would lend us to want to do a phase one. And we've had,
you know, you would think that GEO would have had all that stuff done, Robert, if they were looking at doing a whole big development there, because they're not going to take down that land without that
correct
already done.
Right. You run across something, you know, maybe you run into, across an underground storage tank from a long time ago, or you got runoff from cars and petroleum. I mean, you got contaminants typically invade these parking lots. So I don't know if that
and it's probably been 15 years since there's really been a lot of cars on it, and since then there is some fly dumping going on in the parking lot. So if the project moves forward, it's going to take some cleanup, that kind of thing. But you know, that's what we do, and we've got partners available, and I'm sure a lot of people would be willing to help. So I don't see any issues environmentally in the project, though.
All right.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Craig, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you exhausted all your funding sources, or? I know you mentioned some of the funding sources that you're looking at, but know, have you exhausted him or just out there pushing for him? And this, and also this seems more like a business proposition than it does for a watershed project. So I'm concerned in regards to the banquet hall that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I try and do with our land acquisition projects is first I try and get federal funds to cover half the project cost, the acquisition, which I did here. Pretty much you put the, you know, Coastal Program Forest Service together, that's half the purchase price. So then I look to get the other half from local funds, wherever I can get it. And to be honest, I think we've probably got to where we can get as far as local funds. I mean, we might be able to squeeze some money out of a few more people, but we're I think, pretty much there. And, you know, locally, you know, there could be a couple other sources. We did try Hobart Stormwater Board. They've supported the project with letter support, and so is the city of Hobart now, but they weren't willing to give any funds for it, which is disappointing. But, you know, that was really the only resource I could go to that we weren't able to get funds from. So, yeah, I mean, this project I knew from the beginning wasn't going to be a super easy one, but, you know, looking at this to the overall scope of the whole Hobart Nature District and all the properties together, I mean, that's where you're looking at your huge stormwater benefits there. So, I mean, that's where we're trying to help, I guess, close a gap as far as connecting some of these properties and then allowing this property to kind of, I guess, complement all the surrounding properties doing the same kind of thing they're doing. So.
Okay, any other questions? Craig, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Are we going on to the next one, Dan, or are you?
Yeah, just... I was going to say, Craig, just go right into.
Thank you.
Okay. To Saros. Like I said, they already have seen the application, so they get it. So.
Okay. Right here is this is a project we've been working on for, oh gosh, probably 10 years with the landowner. It's the Saros property. You can see here on our vision plan map, number 12, it's our Lake Hills, potential Lake Hills site. It's in the upper reaches of Turkey Creek. It's an area of the county that, you know, there's a lot of development going on, plain and simple. And so looking here at our open space map, if you look, there's not a lot of open space in the west side of the county. When you come from Wolf Lake up here in Hammond, all the way down the LaSalle Fish and Wildlife Area and the Kankakee River, there's really no large open space tracts along the west side of the county. Now, if you go on the Illinois side, you've got Cook County Forest Preserves, you've got Will County Forest Preserves up against the county line, but not from the Indiana side. The closest thing you could say is probably Hoosier Prairie right here. So this site's huge as far as that goes, just kind of giving you an idea of the layout. Here's a USGS map of the property. It's an old map. So since this map, since the drawing came out, you know, there's subdivisions all around here now and more coming in all the time. So you can kind of see here, this is the upper reaches of Turkey Creek. You've got basically Turkey Creek splits at the 77th Avenue here. So it splits and goes around to the west and then also goes around to the east, the Sherrville Heights neighborhood. It goes to the west and basically Turkey Creek starts in the Lake Hill subdivision. So you got water that comes through Gulf Lake and all the water that comes into the wetland along 85th Avenue drains underneath 85th and comes near the Saros property. So this area is receiving a lot of runoff through Turkey Creek and more runoff all the time with all the development coming in. Right here is another map showing our park and open space plan. And this kind of is a plan of, it includes the Saros property itself, which is pretty much the middle of the property. And also, if this would happen, you know, we're looking already in the future. I've got other willing sellers around this property. It's a 100-acre acquisition, Saros is. I got maybe another 50 acres around here that we could acquire someday between Klein Avenue and Austin Avenue, between 77th and 85th. But first, without doing this core 100-acre acquisition, the other ones don't matter. So and looking at this site, Sherrville is going to be putting in a new sidewalk along 77th Avenue in the coming years. So between 41 and Klein Avenue, there's a roundabout here at Klein Avenue, and the Pensacola Greenway comes through. So we'll have great trail access. We'd look if this project would go through to put a small parking lot in off 77th Avenue to allow access from the public and then also have trail access from the Pensy. And then we'd have some sort of loop trail system that goes from north to south in this property. The neat thing about this property going back to here, we've got about 50 feet of grade change between 77th Avenue and 85th, which is really neat because, you know, anybody who wants to go and hike in a park and do that kind of stuff, Having grade change in Lake County is something you don't see all the time. So this Lake Hills area is aptly named. You've got a lot of up and down that would happen with the trail system. So just another benefit, and just makes it more interesting for the general public. Also wanted to come down here to a wetland delineation that was done by EarthSource for the property owner. You can see here we've got jurisdictional wetlands on both sides of Turkey Creek, where Turkey Creek flows through. You've got a lot of isolated wetlands also through this property. And what happens, you've got undulating land through this whole 100 acres between 77th and 85th. So wherever you see these small isolated wetlands, and a couple of them are a little larger, they do hold a lot of water. I think EarthSource had the site of the 100 acres. You've got about 25 acres of wetlands that were delineated. Walking over this property last couple of years, the site's actually got wetter. I guarantee there's probably at least 30 acres of wetland out here. And a couple of these wetlands have got larger over the years because tiles have been broke and there's been no agriculture really happening on most of the property. So the property does hold a good amount of stormwater. Kind of going through just some of the benefits right here and some of the highlights. Looking at, the long-term benefits here, we've got, of course, 100 acres. You've got the wetlands that are here already. Stormwater benefits. This property is already in your Little Kennebec River Comprehensive Watershed Plan. There was a flood control project planned for the large wetland basin here by 77th and Austin, or at least near it. And so looking at that, it's already in your plan for a flood retention detention area, probably because of the large amount of water that comes through and all the development happening. So you've got that already here, and it's already been identified. And then again, if you look at the area around it, I drove around the site here just in the last couple of days just to count the number of subdivisions going in right now. And I think we've got about 8 subdivisions right now going in around this property. You've got more rooftops happening every single day. And, I don't blame people. They want to move to Indiana for a good reason. So, but we need to provide some more open space for them. If you look right now at our open space in Lake County, I think right now total open space, we got about 20,000 acres. It might seem like a good amount of open space. Lake County Parks manages almost 8,000 acres. But if you look at the forest preserve districts next to us, Cook County's managing over 70,000 acres of open space. Will County's got almost 50,000 acres. Newton County's got 30,000 acres because of LaSalle, Willow Slough, and the Kankakee Sands. And even Porter County's got more open space than Lake County because of the Dunes Lakeshore, the State Park, the Nature Preserve on Route 6. There's a lot of issues there. But, we're just trying to do a little bit here to add to the quality of life.
Are you excited about this project, Craig, or what?
Oh, I am, because there's
I could tell. All right. It's a lot of acres. All right. Yeah. What else? Real quick. We get okay. It's going to hold water.
Yep. Just want to go down to the budget real quick. We've got some updates since I submitted it to you. We've got commitments from Indiana, from Coastal Program, $150,000. Indiana Department of Natural Resources through Land and Water Conservation Fund are willing to put in $367,932. St. John Township, I presented to their board recently, and their board is going to take this into consideration to help us out. So my request to them is between $50,000 and $100,000. So from what I'm gathering from them, they like the project. So I'm not saying it's funded yet, but I think we got a good chance. Recently, I talked to Indiana DNR and their payment and lieu program for mitigation. They've got funds sitting there from developments happening in St. John Township and the west side of the county. I think they're going to be willing to give us some funds to help purchase this property because we can help purchase wetlands that were taken away by other developments in the area. And then you can see from Little Kennebec River Basin Commission, we've got a request needed for $800,000. I talked to Dan recently. That request might come down depending on the payment and lieu program funds that we've got coming in, but it's huge. If we could have any kind of help from you, because making this happen, it would be huge for the county. And I just wanted to share this kind of last. DBG did put together a plan for the owner. And so if you look at it right here, 77th Avenue, 85th, right down here, you've got a 100 lot subdivision that will be put in here if it's not purchased by us. That plain and simple. So, do we want another 100 rooftops coming in the area? I'm sure they'll sell and people will be glad to move in there. It's a beautiful piece of property, but all the oaks and hickories and middle of property will get whacked. And we've got another bunch of stormwater getting into Turkey Creek and back downstream. So, if we don't get it, the property's going to get developed very quickly.
All right. Thank you, sir. Any questions for this young man?
Chairman, I have a question, if you can hear me.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible to get some more detailed information? As you've gotten funding, what we have is very generic, I would say.
Okay.
We're putting a lot of faith in everything that you have done. Mm-hmm. We kind of like to get nitpicky once in a while. So any other information you could share with Dan to help us evaluate this whole project would, I think, be a benefit.
Okay. Yeah, I think within the next month, I will have news from St. John Township. Also, I'll have news from Indiana DNR and their mitigation program. So once these two are figured out and I have commitments there, these are already committed. So, yeah, well, in the next month, I'll have a better idea of where exactly we're at. But I feel we're getting closer, and that's huge.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear. Mm-hmm. You obviously have gotten money committed from these parties.
Yep.
What information did you give them to convince them to give you funding? That's certainly not what you're giving us.
Yeah, no. You know what it is we've had really good success with the coastal program, land and water program over the years, and our track record's been pretty good about giving them projects, getting the federal funds together, and finding the local source of funding to make it happen. We've not had to turn any money back yet, and you know, we're going out on the limb a little bit. I know that, but you know, the project's that important that it's worth putting in the extra effort for it. And there, I guess our past commitment, our past projects that we've been successful with, our track record is what has got them to commit the project funds to us. That's what it is.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How long has the family committed to not sell this to any other developers or let you continue to look for other funding, including us?
We've got a purchase agreement. It was actually came up on February 1st. And since then, we've actually got the purchase agreement extended through May, through Memorial Day, basically. So I've got till May to figure out what's going on and get a commitment to the property owners. And it's a large family, great family. And also, I forgot, they might bargain sale some also. I'm not saying how much, but they're willing, I think. So there's going to be a little bit there to play with. And then, I think from that standpoint, we've got some options there. So, and then,
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Mr. Ochi, you have some?
No comments.
All right. All right, anybody else? All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let me shift here. And next items on the agenda is other issues, new business, as we move right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the City of Hammond's watershed application for the Calumet Avenue Pedestrian Bridge Project in the amount of $1 million pending legal review of execution of final interlocal agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Mr. Repay, we know about this. Anything that you want to toss in?
No, I think everyone understands what's going on.
All right. Any discussion? One, two, three. Be there, none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Roslinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Lake County Drainage Board and City of Crown Point watershed application for the Beaver Dam Ditch Lateral 5 culvert replacement in the amount of $126,000 pending legal review and execution of the interlocal agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? I mean, nothing. Killing me. All right, Mrs. Lambert, there's a motion and a second. God, are we good?
Tom Ruschinski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Spending some money. Next up.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Town of Dyer Watershed application for the Hart Ditch two-stage ditch project in the amount of $600,000 pending legal review and final execution of the interlocal agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? So just for everybody's edification out there, these have been presentations that have already went through there. We've already gone through a work study. We've already beat on these things something serious. So we have a motion and a second. No discussion. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruschinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the City of Crown Point watershed application for the Sowerman Woods Drainage Improvement Project in the amount of 60% of the total project cost, not to exceed a total contribution of $2,600,000. Pending legal review and execution of an interlocal agreement.
Woo! There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on this one? It's a lot of scratch.
Yes, sir. I'll be happy to talk about it. I know that the city was looking for a greater amount of funding. As you mentioned, we have all of us done a lot of research, formulated opinions, and feel that I look forward to a successful project. Hopefully they are able to find the additional funds necessary for this improvement.
Thank you. Anybody else? This is a big one in helping with 231 down there in Crown Point. They've got a lot of development. We're trying to figure out some things, but they're asking for it. Here we go. No other discussion. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruschinski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. You know how hard it is for me not to do that rebellion thing from the 70s just to be the one lone no vote on everything? Okay, moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the next point on the agenda, the Silver Hawk drainage improvement at the Beaver Dam Ditch Project, we received some late information today, and I would like to just defer this so the commissioners can go ahead and review that information so we can make an informed decision.
There's a motion to defer. Is there a second?
Second.
With a second, is there any discussion? Be there or not, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruschinski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chair, before I make this motion, I would like to say that I'm very honored to make this motion before that for all the people who came out to help clean up the Chase Street spring ditch right there. Special thanks to the Gary Historical Society, the Gary Food Bank, the residents from Hobart, Miraville, Gary, and in Chicago who showed up. Just residents just come out and help, as well as the number of commissioners. So just one of the thank them all for coming out taking their time on a national holiday to come out and clean up that particular area. Thank you. Now, Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve an agreement with HWC Engineering for the Spring Park project in the amount not to exceed $69,900, pending legal review and final execution of the local agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? So this is the location around the spring over at 35th and Chase, and moving right along with that particular project. So be there no other discussion. There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Oche.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right. Taking care of business. Next up, my favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. Please, Mrs. Lambert, be aware of the fact if you'd like to speak, state your name and address for the record and help us move along.
The only person that I have that has said that they may have something to say is Kathy Sipple from the Northwest Indiana Regional Resilience, if she would like to comment.
Thank you. May I speak?
She may. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I, along with two other volunteers from Lake County, got a chance to speak with Anthony Broadnax earlier in the week. And he had said that he would bring before you an opportunity for your organization to support 4 local interns to work on a greenhouse gas emissions inventory this summer, which, if all goes the way we plan, will result in a climate action plan that those interns would work on next year. And as you know, climate action plan can reduce flooding, preserve recreation opportunities, and maybe tangentially, but hopefully of interest to your group, also to some extent, prevent brain drain. These students who study engineering and climate studies and environmental will be given an opportunity to have some practical experience and be put to good use here in our region. So I believe that was brought up during your executive and study session that occurred before the meeting, but I wanted to let you know I was here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions for this young lady? Be there or none. We have that information. We'll review it, but thank you for taking the time to come and speak with us.
Thank you for calling me a young lady. at 54, that doesn't come very often, so much appreciated. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Mrs. Lambert, is there anybody else?
Yes, Sandy O'Brien would like to speak. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now, am I?
Yes, you. Yep. I hear you.
Awesome, okay. I appreciate your patience and all the Lake County Parks things and everything else you're working on. I was hoping you guys would be voting on the GEO project, but is that going to be next month then?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else, Sandy? Sandy, you only show up to the meetings when you want money.
I always pay attention to.
Oh, all right, good. Thank you. Anything else? You've been okay?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Thank you. Good. All right, thank you. Mrs. Lambert, anybody else?
That is all that I have.
Huh, come on, really? All right, going once, going twice. All right, folks, thank you very much. Next meeting is going to be the third Wednesday of next month, February. What happens? That's March Madness. So hopefully there'll be no snow on the ground, but we'll wait and see. And we'll entertain a motion to adjourn, please, gentlemen. Motion to adjourn, gentlemen.
So moved.
All right. And a second?
Second.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your help, everybody. Trying to make it a better place to live. We'll see you next month. Take care.